Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. This is Solomon writing to his son. Solomon's advice as a father to his son, and we read it here. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." We're talking about complete obedience. Everybody say complete obedience. "For length of days," here's the promise. This is the result of obedience. "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So you," this is the result again, So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Let's read verse 5 together. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Verse 6, let's read it together. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." I like those 10 verses. Starts off with complete obedience. And through complete obedience, verse 2 says, length of days, long life, peace. That's the result of obedience. Then we are told in all our ways to acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. In other words, if you acknowledge God and you keep him first in your life, he will clear the road for you. He will make a way for you. He will show you the right path. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't ever think that you're wise enough. Don't be wise in your own eyes, but trust in God. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Don't think you're so smart. Depart from evil, the Bible says, and it will make you healthy and strong. There's so much in these 10 verses. You ought to go back and read these 10 verses and dwell on them, apply them to your life. And I want to speak tonight on this title, Trusting God in Uncertain Times. Trusting God in Uncertain Times. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. We thank you for our worship service and, Lord, your presence that has been in this house. We thank you for the cross and this time of remembrance. Lord God, Lord, help us to leave this place changed. Lord, not only from what we experienced at the communion table, but through your word, Lord God, help us to not hear it only, but to apply it to our lives. And we'll be sure to give you all the praise and all the glory. And all the church says amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Proverbs is a great book in the Bible. In fact, there's 31 days in a month. And there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Well, not every month has 31 days, but maybe it would be a good practice for us whenever there's 31 days in a month to read one proverb a day. And so you get through the book of Proverbs, because in Proverbs, we learn about biblical wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. And so Solomon is giving advice to his son, and he says, "Forget not my law." Now, he's not talking about his own rules, his fatherly rules. He's talking about God's word, because he didn't mean my rules. He was saying, I don't want you to forget God's word that Solomon has not only learned, but he has internalized and made it personal, and he lived it. And so he's saying, son, don't forget. Now, when it comes to not forgetting God's word, it's not just a mental exercise. It's more than just a mental exercise. In fact, a lot of Christians, and I said this to someone the other day, a lot of Christians have high-level knowledge and low-level obedience. Okay? It's kind of like McDonald's. If I was to say to you, I would say, how many people know that McDonald's isn't healthy for you? You'd all lift your hand and say, I know that. And then I would say, how many of you eat it? You'd put your hand up as well. High-level knowledge, low-level obedience. We don't always do what we know. And so deciding not to forget God's word is more than just a mental exercise. It's not just committing things to memory, but it is also connected to a life of obedience where we keep not just remembering, but we keep doing God's commandments. And so if somebody can just mentally remember God's word, yet they fail to obey God's word, we could rightfully say that they have forgotten God's commandments. Okay? If we ask our child to go and clean their room, and they come back and you look at them and you see their room isn't clean, and you look at your son and you say, your room's not clean. Did you forget what I said? And the son looks back and say, no, I didn't forget. I know what you said. But you didn't do it. But I heard what you said. It's in my head. No, you forgot. You didn't obey. And so it's not just mentally remembering something, but it is doing. And we are told to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. So I ask you some questions. Do you trust God? Easy to answer. Yes, of course, we're in church. Where do we place our faith? Where do we place our confidence? Do I trust him in everything? Everything. Maybe I trust him in some things. Maybe I trust him in the small things and not the big things. Maybe I trust him in the big things and not the small things. The question is, do we truly trust in the Lord with all? Okay, let's go into the Hebrew. All means all. All right. With all our heart, do we trust? And so as we read in Proverbs 3, these commandments are all inclusive. There are no exceptions. He didn't say to partially obey the Lord's teachings and instructions. He didn't say with most of your heart, we had to trust him with all of our heart. And with each command, notice this, with each command, there precedes a promise. Now, I know you parents are thinking, you know, whenever I ask my sons to do something, like one of the hardest jobs to get done around our house is something they promised to always do. They said, Daddy, if you buy us a puppy, you'll never have to pick up the poos. And I was silly enough to believe that. They don't like to pick them up. And so when I ask them to do something, I normally try to give them a bribe. Well, if you do it, when we go out to the shop, I'll buy a lolly. And that's not a good way to parent, by the way. Our kids should just do it. But even when we read the commandments of the Lord, they come with promises. They come with promises. Each command preceded a promise. God tells us if we do these things, he said, I'll do something in return. There'll be a reward. And the promises are conditional. We do our part, and God does his part. If we trust him completely, if we obey him completely, he says, I'm going to provide for you as my children. Now, you don't have to be a scientist to know this, but we live in uncertain times. Morally uncertain, financially uncertain. We live in uncertain times, but it doesn't matter how uncertain the times are. Things can be changing. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but let me tell you, God is faithful. He doesn't change. Your friends can be uncertain. They can be hot one day, cold the next. Reliable one day, unreliable the next. Uncertainty, you don't know. I don't know what to expect with my friends. I don't know what to expect with the uncertainty of the times that we are facing. But we do know one thing is that God doesn't change and that he is faithful. God doesn't have any times of uncertainty. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let me tell you, you can trust God. He doesn't have bad days. You have bad days. Your friends have bad days, but God doesn't have a bad day. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is faithful. And so this is where it's at tonight. If you want to be blessed, then it comes from trusting God. And it's not just something that happens in our head. Trust is something that happens through our action. And trust is not something that is very easy to do. In fact, as we get older, we tend to not trust as much. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If I was to get my son, stand him up here, nice and high, my a little baby three-year-old, and I would go down here, and I'd put my arms out, and I'd say, jump. He'd just jump because he trusts. But then as he gets older, he's like, I don't know. He can think of all the reasons why he can't trust me to catch him. But as we grow older, we can find ourselves not trusting God. We can become like the rest of our society and become a very self-reliant society, relying on ourselves. Trust is not just faith. Trust is more than faith. If you're taking notes, write that down. Trust is more than faith. Trust goes beyond faith. You see, you can believe God without trusting God, because trust requires action. It requires us to step out. So does faith. Faith without works is dead, but trust is more than faith. Trust is a firm belief in the reliability, truth, or ability of someone or something. Trust is believe in the reliability or the ability of something. Confident expectation. To believe in one's honesty, integrity, faithfulness, and ability. Faith doesn't necessarily make you obey. The Bible says even the devil believes and trembles. Trust requires obedience. And here it is. Psalm chapter 37 and verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. Verily thou shalt be fed. Trust. How do we get fed? How do we have our provision? How does God provide for us? It starts with trust. God can do what no man can do. Let us trust Him. In times of uncertainty, God can do what no government can do. And we thank the Lord for our governments, and we pray for our governments as the Bible tells us to do. But God can do what no government can do. This government will let you down. People will let you down. Everyone in this world will let you down. But God will not let you down. He can do what no man can do. He can do what no government can do. He is the Lord of everything. Let me remind you. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It all belongs to Him. So the scripture says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. That speaks of provision. And so I want to know, in uncertain times, what can I do? Well, I can trust in the Lord. And when I don't know what to do, I can do what I know to do. I'm going to do good. I'm going to dwell in the land, and I'm going to trust God. He's going to provide. Verily, thou shalt be fed. In uncertain times, we can trust a certain God. He is certain. Everybody say certain. Psalm 37, verse 39 and 40 goes on to say, But the salvation of the righteousness is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Because why? Because they trust in Him. Trusting God in uncertain times. I mean, it's very easy to believe something in your head. Believing really in our head has no price tag on it. You can believe and do nothing. But trust releases obedience. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17, a very interesting portion of scripture that I was studying this week that really came alive to me. 1 Kings 17, verses 8 to 16. And this is about Elijah. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, that is Elijah, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Okay, go, Elijah. Go to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and stay there. And here it is. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. What? I mean, a widow woman, she didn't have a husband to work. Women, widows who didn't have husbands would have had nothing. They would have been charitable cases. And the Lord says to Elijah, go to Zarephath. And there's going to be a woman, a widow woman, who's going to look after you. And Elijah's thinking, That sounds impossible. It sounds certainly very uncertain. I don't know. I mean, she doesn't have any food. If this is going to happen, it's going to require something supernatural. And God, if you told me to go there and this widow woman's going to look after me, then I'm going to have to trust you. And so he arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he had come to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." That's the first test. Everyone say the first test. Can you get me some water? And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." The second test. Can you get me some bread as well? And she said, "As the Lord thy God," Jehovah wasn't her God, it was Elijah's God. If you study this woman, she wasn't a believer of Jehovah. You can study that further in your time. But she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. I don't have any bread. All I've got is a hand of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, here I am. You saw me. I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Uncertainty. "God, you told me to come here. And you told me that there was a widow woman that was going to take care of me. And I turned up and she was picking up sticks. And then I asked her for some water. And I asked her for some bread. And she said, 'I've got enough for myself and my son. We're going to eat it. It's going to be our last meal. And we're going to die.'" And Elijah said to her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But first make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after you've made my cake, then for you and your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." This is what God said. It's going to be enough. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Everyone say trust. And she and he and her house did eat many days. She was only going to eat one more meal and then die, her and her son. But as she did as the man of God Elijah said, she ate, Elijah ate, her boy ate for many days. And she interrupted though. She interrupted saving herself and her son to save the prophet Elijah. And this verse 16 says, "And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord." You see, she wasn't standing on what Elijah said. She was standing on the word of the Lord. She was standing on what God said. She said, "According to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah," the provision came from God. In uncertain times, brothers and sisters, we can trust God and he will provide. It doesn't say that they ate like kings, but let me tell you, they did not lack. Let me tell you, they did not lack. First of all, she protested. You can write this down. Verse 12, she protested. She said, "Elijah, there's not enough. There's only enough for me and my son. I'm going to make a cake. It's going to be our last meal and we're done and dusted. We're going to die." She protested. But then Elijah came with the promise of God and said, "No, it's not going to fail." So she protested. He promised. And you know what? Then God performed the miracle. She protested, he promised, and God performed the miracle. I'm here to encourage you today. In certain times, whatever this world throws at us, whatever uncertainty comes our way, let me tell you, one thing is certain. God will not fail us, and we can trust him. Somebody say amen. Between the promise and the performance of the miracle, she obeyed and did what God had said. She acted on the promise and God did the work. T.F. Tenney, a great preacher, once said this. He says, you have to learn to trust God even when you can't track God. You know what that means? You got to learn to trust God even when you can't track God. You say, God, I don't understand what's happening. I don't understand where you're leading me. I don't understand where this situation is going. I can't track you. I don't know where we're headed. But you know what? I'm still going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. Even if I don't understand why or how it's going to happen. She didn't understand how it was going to happen, but she had to trust God. To learn to trust God even when we can't track him. And so being a mature Christian is the opposite to being a mature human being. Okay? I'm going to explain that in a second. Because as human beings, we have little babies and they come out of the mother's womb. We feed them, we change them, we dress them, we do everything for them. They're completely dependent on mom and dad. And we hope, the plan is, parents, that one day our kids will grow up and become independent. All right? And sometimes that takes longer than for some kids than it does others. So we hope that they grow up from being dependent to independent. But as Christians, when we come to the Lord, we become independent. Trying to do everything in our own strength, thinking we know everything in our own way, all of those things. But as we grow in God and as we mature as a Christian, we become more dependent on God. That's why you talk to somebody 90 years old, they say, oh, by His grace, by His grace. You say, you're looking well, and the 90-year-old lady says back to you, by God's grace, He gave me another day. I thank Him. I'm completely dependent on Him. He walks with me and He talks with me. I'm dependent on Him. A human being, you say to someone, you know, who's in the world, you say, you're looking good today. They say, yeah, I'm a pretty good looking person, aren't I? I went to the gym. I eat healthy. I got good genetics. It's all about me because they're independent. But as you mature as a Christian, and especially as you make mistakes and fall flat on your face, you realize that we can't do it without God. You become more dependent. And so we say, I trust God. But we can often find ourselves placing our trust in a lot of other things. A lot of other things. And one thing the Bible talks about where we place our trust is in our treasure. Our money. We trust money more than anything else. And you say, well, that's not true. I don't care. But most of us secretly, maybe even just secretly, believe that money can bring us happiness. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah. If you don't believe me, let me ask you a question. A little experiment. Ask yourself, could even just a little bit more money make my life better? Everyone goes, Well, it's a bit of a contradiction, isn't it? Because we honestly believe that if we had more money, life would be better. We have a trust in money. And so the other way money slips in is we think if we have enough, then we feel secure. But then when it comes to money, how much is enough? They ask the richest person in the world, how much money do you need? You've got so much. He said, oh, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. I met some really wealthy people over my time, and they've got so much money. And they started off, they said, you know what? If I could just earn my first $1 million, then I'm going to serve God. And so they become a millionaire, and you're like, okay, you ready to serve God? They said, no, I just need a little bit more. They get up to 10 million. Are you ready to give your life to God? Oh, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Because a lot of people have their trust in money. And so, given our secret trust in money, when we give to God of that, then giving to God is really a matter of trust. It really boils down to trust. I don't like speaking about money. And if you've been around church long enough, around this church, you'll know you probably have never heard me preach about money. I don't like talking about it. In fact, kind of the TV preachers make pastors not want to talk about money. But money's all through the Bible. In fact, it's the place where we're probably least likely to trust God in our finances. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7 says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so if we're going to be able to give cheerfully, not grudgingly or of necessity, it's going to be because we trust God. And so many of the parables, in fact, over half of the parables in the Bible that Jesus told us have to do with money. We find it awkward to talk about, but Jesus didn't find it awkward to talk about money. There are more promises in the Bible related to the way we handle our finances. There are more promises about our finances than any other subject. And so you must ask yourself, why did Jesus find it so important to talk about money? Because this is the reality. Money has the greatest potential to replace God in our life. It can replace God. Because we, like we kind of said before, we get more money, we feel more secure. We get a little bit more money, we feel like we can get a little bit happier. Many people, so many people I've seen in my time as a Christian, many people get lured away from God by materialism. I've seen people come to the Lord and God blessed them and God prospered them, all of those things. And as soon as they got back on their feet again, they walked away from God. God is not content with the leftovers. He wants us to trust Him and He wants to be the first in our life. The Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Everybody say the love of money. Some people misquote that. They go, money is evil. The Bible says it. Money's not evil. Money is amoral. It's not right or wrong. The love of money is the root of all evil. The scripture says, 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. I got a saying, when I go fishing, or be in the middle of the bush somewhere, just me and the birds and a fishing rod and a worm on the hook. That sounds a bit cruel, doesn't it? But I'm sitting there, and if I'm fishing with someone or hunting with someone and we're in the bush, I always turn to them and I sarcastically say to them this. I say this, wonder what the rich people are doing. Like I care. I don't care what they're doing. They're probably worried about their money. It says they have pierced themselves with many griefs. And here I am in the middle of the bush, fishing, going for a walk, whatever it is, and I got nothing to worry about. I don't have a lot of money, but I haven't got the griefs of those rich people that are pursuing money. And so money is not evil. The love of money is evil. And Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. He dealt with this issue head on. He said, either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is a term used to describe wealth or greed. Money, basically, you can't serve both. And so when we give to God, it is really a matter of trust. Because we trust money. We think it's going to make us a little bit happier if we just can earn a little bit more. We trust money because we say, you know, if I get more of it, I feel more secure. But when we put and we give to God, He doesn't even ask for it all. He says, just give back a part and trust me with the part. And see if I will not bless you. That's what the scripture says. We read, in fact, in the Bible, in Ecclesiastes, it talks about the need to just keep pushing. People just want to go that little bit further, just a little bit more money, just one more investment, just one more house, just one more car, just the next model up. You know, it doesn't matter. Some people have great cars, and I get in their car, and their car's got like 30,000 Ks on the clock, and they're like, yeah, but, you know, the next model's coming out. My brother-in-law worked at Porsche. Porsches are nice cars. And he told me he'd see guys come in, they'll buy a Porsche, and when the new model comes out, they'll come in and trade it in and lose 50 grand like that on a trade-in just to have the latest car. There was nothing wrong with the previous one, but the next model's waiting in the wings. They can't stop but think about it. They've got to have it. And Ecclesiastes 1 verse 8 says, the eye never has enough of seeing, and the ear never has enough fill of hearing. There's always something more. They're pursuing something. And so in the Bible, God asks us to give back. Malachi 3 verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, well, how have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Now, some people say, well, the tithe, it was under the law. Well, it's not under the law. It was before the law. And then in the Gospels, Jesus affirmed it again. And then we read the Gospel principles of giving sacrificially, cheerfully, all of those things. And so today we still give to God of our increase. And so Malachi 3 verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Well, how have we robbed you, God? He says, well, you robbed me in tithes and offerings. And so we can only rob God if it belonged to him in the first place. And it does. Everything belongs to him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And because of that, he says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Don't worry, the story's going to get better. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open. Here it is. God says, put me to the test. I will open the windows of heaven. If you will trust me with that tenth, with that tithe, if you will trust me. You know, a lot of times God is kind of testing us, but God says, put me to the test. Put me to the test. Test me if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you will not be able to have enough room to receive it. And I'll add this, and I will rebuke the devourer for thy sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be in a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. When we talk about giving in church, you know, some people go into involuntary seizures. What? What? You're telling me to tithe? I mean, I'd have to totally rearrange my life. Yes, you get to rearrange your life around God. It's a matter of trust, to trust God. You see, this is a priority, to trust God. Even in uncertain times, I've learned in uncertain times, and I've been through certain times, uncertain times. And I can tell you a testimony. I was at a conference, and I don't say this to brag, but we had a big bill. This is before we had kids. We had a big bill coming up, which was plenty of thousands. And we didn't have that. We had a couple of thousand in the bank. And we needed about 7,000 by February. And so we were in a missions meeting at conference. And I wanted to give to missions that day. And I'm sitting there thinking, I haven't got anything. By February, we've got to have 7. I've got 2. And I did something crazy. To a human, it's crazy. But you know what? The chances of getting 7 were impossible anyway. There's no way I was going to get 7 by February to pay this doctor's bill. There's no way. So I just said to Melanie, I said, we're going to give the 2. And you know what? God provided the 7. That's my testimony. God provided it. Miraculously, God provided it. Put God to the test. I'm not saying do foolish things, and I'm not encouraging that tonight. We are to be good stewards, and I'm not talking about blab it, grab it, and prosperity doctrine. God wants us to prosper. It's in the Bible. The problem I have is that we only give because of we want to prosper. Or the idea that you can give, and the more you give, you get a Bentley. You give a bit more, you get a Mercedes, and all that sort of stuff. No, we don't give to get. We give because it belongs to him. That's why the Bible says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. It doesn't say to give the tithes to the storehouse. It says, bring it. You can't give something that doesn't belong to you in the first place. It belongs to God. That's why he says, bring it. And so there are many places in the Bible where God tells us to prove, where God proves us. But in Malachi 3 verse 10, he invites us to prove him. You see, God cares about our giving. And in difficult, uncertain times, and I'm not just, this is just one example in the area of giving, is to trust God with our finances. But in everything else, whatever it is, in uncertain times, we must trust God. We must put our trust in God. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes we're going to protest. We're going to say, Elijah, there's only enough for my son and for me. And then the word of the Lord comes. We say, well, I'm going to trust the word of God. I'm going to trust God's word. And when we trust, when protest, and then when we do what God's word says, then God can do the miracle. You see, God's unchanging character. Everyone say unchanging. He doesn't change. He's not like your fair weather friends who are there when it's good, and when things go bad, your friends aren't there. He's not like that. He is unchanging. He is unchanging. And that unchanging God gives us a foundation that we can be steady in him. In uncertain times, we can stand strong. We can, in uncertain times, we can have our faith in a certain God. And so when uncertainty comes, yes, it's uncomfortable. It's not nice to not know what's happening. But in uncertain times, the word of the Lord says this in Isaiah 41, verse 13. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you. We used to sing a song in the Torres Strait Islands. I'm going to hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. I'm going to hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. I'm going to build my hopes on things eternal. I'm going to hold to God's unchanging hand. And in uncertain times, I'm going to hold to his hand. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. We can trust him in uncertain times. And I've come to encourage you, whatever uncertainty you're facing right now, first and foremost, put your trust in God. If it doesn't make sense, put your trust in God. It's all you can do. Trust God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Let's all stand tonight. Praise God. If you anybody want a copy of those notes, you can feel free to mail the office, and I'm happy to give them to you. Trusting God in the midst of uncertainty. We place our faith in what we cannot see in order to overcome what we can see. And yeah, we can see the uncertainty, but we put our trust in the unseen God who knows and will see us through whatever we're facing. Amen. Anyone encouraged tonight? Anybody know we live in uncertain times? Yeah, I know. Every Tuesday, once a month. Anybody get those letters in the mail? Not good news. I think if I don't open the letterbox, I won't see it. But it's uncertain times. We're living in uncertain times, but we have a certain God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you are the unchanging God. Come on, church, let's thank him right now, because we have a hope like nobody else in this world. Our hope is in you, Lord God. And Lord, you will see us through every trial. Lord God, you will see us through the fire. You will see us through the water, Lord. Lord, you will take us through. You've done it before for your people, and you will do it again. We're going to trust you, God. I'm going to hold to your unchanging hand. And I'm going to build my life. I'm going to build my hope on things eternal. Lord, I'm not going to cling to the temporal things of this world, but I'm going to cling to the eternal things. I'm going to build my hope on things eternal, and I'm going to hold to your unchanging hand. And Lord, I pray for somebody here tonight struggling with the uncertainty that they're facing in their life, either with health or with finance or with whatever it is, with relationships or on their job. Lord God, in all of this uncertainty, Lord, we're going to trust you in these uncertain times. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Everybody say, I can trust God. Everybody say, I can trust God. Now change it up. Everyone say, I'm going to trust God. Or I should say the way my mum would have me say, I'm going to trust God. I'm not allowed to say gonna. I'm going to trust God. Praise God. Why don't you go have a great Wednesday night. We'll see you on Sunday. God bless you.